the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shannon Kirkwood. It's feared a coronavirus outbreak has occurred at a nursing home in central Queensland. Health officials in the state say an aged care nurse in Rockhampton tested positive. The home is now in lockdown and extensive testing and contact testing is now underway. Victoria is also dealing with new outbreaks. Two clusters of cases continue to grow in that state. The number of total confirmed cases in Australia has now risen to just over 7,000, with more than 6,300 of those having recovered. 98 people have died from the virus. Around the world, the number of people who have died from COVID-19 has exceeded 300,000. Meantime, across the Tasman, New Zealand has recorded one new confirmed case of COVID-19 today. There are just over 56 active cases across New Zealand. Prominent human rights lawyer Amal Clooney is calling for the Australian government to adopt laws which would ban international human rights abusers from investing or even entering Australia. From Canberra, Amanda Kopp reports.
This morning, Canberra had some star presence when lawyer Amal Clooney, who is also married to movie star George Clooney, appeared before a Senate committee. She wants Australia to use asset freezes and travel bans to punish human rights abusers. The US, UK and Canada already have similar laws. She says Australia should do the same.
Australia should be able to go beyond the rhetoric of condemnation and actually impose a cost on behaviour that it deplores.
Known as Magnitsky Laws, they are named after a Russian accountant who uncovered a $200 million fraud case and was imprisoned, tortured and eventually killed as a result. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.
The Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry is arguing for the minimum wage to remain frozen until mid-next year. The group says as a result of yesterday's unemployment figures, with nearly 600,000 people losing their jobs due to the pandemic, now is not the time to talk about wage increases. The unemployment rate has moved to a five-year high of 6.2%. In its submission to the Fair Work Commission's annual review of the minimum wage, the group says this is an extraordinary year where minimum wages should not be increased. A leading researcher on the use of medical video consultations says telehealth is the way of the future, but there are challenges along the way. The COVID-19 pandemic has created a big take-up of telehealth across Australia. Monash University digital health expert Chris Bain admits telehealth could even spark a decline in personal interaction with the healthcare system. Professor Bain says technological advances will see the practice become more widespread, but there are concerns chiefly around privacy.
There are a whole bunch of things can safely be done in telehealth. We know that. The question for the minute is how far into maybe an adverse space has it gone, and what do the pros and cons look like at the end of the day?
The stories and images from last summer's bushfire crisis will be collated so that the impact of the disaster won't be forgotten. The Royal Commission into National Natural Disaster Arrangements has today launched its 2019-2020 Bushfires History Project, which brings the unique stories and images together. Commissioner Andrew McIntosh says the collection will ensure future generations understand what happened and the effect the crisis had on Australians.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's 15.7 degrees, and I say that because it's struggling to get to 16. It's meant to be a top of 18 today, but I don't think we're going to get there. And 9 degrees overnight, medium chance of showers near the coast for the rest of the afternoon, and a chance of a shower in the west. The winds are going to tend from the south and then becoming light in the evening. The sun will set tonight at 5:03. Looking for the weekend on Saturday. Possible showers again, 9 to 19. Sunday, mostly sunny, 8 to 20. And back to work week Monday, a possible shower and 9 to 20. And the moon is currently last quarter.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
A few traffic issues to let you know about. East Lake, Southern Cross Drive near Wentworth Avenue. Hazard, a truck strap, it says. So one of three southbound lanes closed there, and it's lane three. At Woodford, Great Western Highway near Bulls Camp Reserve. Crash of three cars, one of two eastbound lane closed. Lane one allows some extra travel time there. And Erskine Park, M4 motorway westbound off-ramp to Erskine Park Road. A van breakdown. The westbound traffic is affected there. Exercise caution and allow some extra travel time. It's 5 minutes past one. You're on a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. We're into our second hour and it's flying along, isn't it, Mario?
He does, darling. You know, like just our first guest, Ruchi. Thank you very much for being our guest. And she was very, very interesting to talk to her and learn and apply her skills and knowledge and become the better leader. Our second hour, nevertheless, it's a person who is not in studio with us, so I'll not lie, he is in studio. He is in Melbourne and his name is Tremaine Murphy. Now, to just make a small attention to our listeners, if you understand my English, you're going to understand his one. He's Irish and his name is Tremaine Murphy. Tremaine, welcome to the studio.
Mario, Darren, fantastic to be here. Really, really excited. How are you guys going today?
Not bad. We have the first day of easy restrictions.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, that's right.
Looking for that coffee in the cafe. But it's pretty drizzly, so we can't go and do our high fives outside yet, Mario, can
no,
we?
No, we can't, but it's Tremaine as well in the Victoria. He's been easy restrictions this week as well. Am I correct, Tremaine?
Yeah, they've had the ease of the restrictions, guys, which is good. You know, we're taking our time with this and trying to get it right so as many people can get back to work safely as possible. But it's fantastic.
I'm surrounded with the two people who understand the sound. Darren in the studio, who is a technically very savvy, and Tremaine, who is going to explain to us how he applies sound in his life. But let me say some bad things about Tremaine. Tremaine, depression, anxiety. Yeah, he experienced that one. Alcohol and rock bottom. That's his story. Obesity and smoking, how he overcome these issues. But before we start digging into the good things, Tremaine, do you mind to introduce yourself to our listeners? Because I don't want to read, you know, all these beautiful things, you know, I mean, what you achieved, which you did, clearly you did. Tremaine, he's completed high school, was competing and playing concerts and sold out audiences around the worldwide Victoria Police Pipe Band.
This is the bagpipes, I think.
It's a bagpipe.
That's right, Mario and Darren. Yeah, look, it's I was going to say to you guys, I've been listening to some of your back interviews, and yes. I think it's terrific what you're doing with this show. And you know,
thank you.
Be delicate with me, boys. You know,
delicate.
I know you like. I know you like to dig deep, and you know,
I put you this way. You introduce yourself. I want your story to inspire others. And when we're choosing people, we give them the voice of our guest on the line 19.5. Their voice is actually a beacon to our listeners. Life is not a pink and roses. I know this. You know, I mean, Darren knows it. You know, life doesn't, you know, it goes ups and downs, and we hit the obstacles. We hit many, many closed doors. However, I always come back to, I can't stress enough, as the premier says, I can't stress enough and emphasize enough. I'm always admiring people who comes with a day raw story and they can inspire. So Tremaine, it's your time. Who is Tremaine, please?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Mario.
You're welcome.
I'm humbled by that. Look, I'm an Irish Australian. I'm 45. And who is Tremaine Murphy? Look, I'm a passionate creative at heart, a people person. And I think, in a nutshell, I've been someone who's been blessed and both cursed with Murphy's Law and the look of the Irish. You know, I'm a creative at heart, and I think I consider my life and what I do both personally and in business to always be a work in progress. I think that's what defines me. And from a business perspective, I've set up, established and run a number of different businesses over the past 20 years. And I'm in an offshoring business now, 24/7 direct partnering with a fantastic gentleman, Devang Parikh. And we provide offshore solutions to small to medium businesses around Australia. And I'll talk to you more about that. And look, in a nutshell, for me, I suppose business is, it's about people and solutions as opposed to profit and margins, and we can elaborate more on that. So my journey and where I'm at and what I'm doing now is absolutely informed by, as I said before, Murphy's Law and the luck of the Irish. And you're not wrong about the bagpipes, guys. I'd love to say, Mario, I've been looking online to see if you and I can do a duo with your saxophone.
Oh, I'd love to. Like, look, I heard the bagpipes maybe twice in my life. And yeah, look, yeah. I still don't understand how this thing produces sound. And, you know, like, I'm just amazed, you know, how much lung capacity obviously you must have and to produce such a thing, you know. And, but I would love to, Tremaine. I would love to be next to you with my few notes. And hopefully Darren's going to make a good sound to both of us. I would love to do this, Tremaine.
You'd be easily confused if you've seen someone playing bagpipes, guys, to think that someone's doing something indecent to a cat. There's a number of pipes got in a number of different places. There's a bag, you've got to squeeze, you've got to blow it. It's, you know, you've got to look a bit closer to see how the whole thing
works. Darryl wants to say something.
I was just thinking then you don't have much time to think about cats or even manage a cat because you've got this big bag to deal with to make the sound, don't you?
And like myself, you've got to be full of a lot of hot air. You know, guys, with the bagpipes, it's one of those childish things where, being from Ireland, obviously St. Patrick's Day parade is a big, big thing for us. And as a child, I was at the parade and the band came, there was the youth band came walking down the street and they were playing the theme song from Star Wars on the bagpipes.
And no way. I said, my favorite.
This is fantastic. You know, this is great. But I was more interested in playing the drums. Now, my mother wouldn't have a bar of it because, you know, we lived in Ireland. The houses there are a fair bit smaller than they are in Australia. And she says, no way you are getting a drum and beating the hell out of that in the box bedroom.
Why not?
It's not going to happen. So she said, you play the tin whistle for school. Why don't you take up the bagpipes? Well, I think she regretted it in the end because I took up the bagpipes, became quite obsessed by them. And my sister took them up as well. So then she had two kids, both in their bedrooms. And I can tell you, at that age, it was a bit like a cat being squeezed in a pretty wrong way. So, anyway.
So no doubt your mum drove you to get very proficient quite quickly. Such that it was a better sound than maybe a trainee on a bagpipe.
Yeah, there was a fast sort of pivot to try and find the best band to get me off to a school hall to play in, as opposed to the box bedroom upstairs, I can assure you.
Indeed. That's great. And carry on.
Yeah, so look, the bagpipes, and I won't lie, I mean, I ended up taking up the pipes and I turned out my fingers weren't too bad and I got quite good at it and I really enjoyed that. So that's where the bagpipes are. I have to say, Mario, though, you know, when it comes to being a smooth operator, the sax is probably far more the instrument if you want to, you know, if you want to do the jazz and the cool sort of, you know, the blues and that sort of thing. I've tried over the years with the bagpipes to do a number of different things and I managed to get there a bit, but it's, you just don't look that, like, when the ladies are involved, you don't look like the man so much when your cheeks are blown up.
So true, like, you know, like, and let me seduce you with a bagpipe. You look, that's the, you know, I mean, I have the one, unfortunately, one love story then, and, you know, I mean, there was a movie called Betty Blue. I'm not sure, did you watch?
Yeah.
You know, it's a cult movie, French movie, and that sax was moving that girl, and it's like, I'm going to make it, I'm going to learn. But 20 years later, I just quite to learn, you know, I mean, last year, like, maybe about 10 songs and everything else. But Tremaine, how about you? So you moved from the Ireland, 1989 in Australia, is that correct?
Yes, my family, it's one of those things, you know, to be sure, my parents decided they want to, as many Irish people do, look at maybe broader horizons and either go come to America, Canada or Australia. And when they got married, they got approved to emigrate to Australia. But then just being newlyweds, I think with all the extended family and friends, they backed out of it. And that's after a year's process to be accepted. And then this is the Murphy's Law, look at the Irish stuff with us. Then years later, when they had myself and my sister and we were little kids, they again applied and said, no, we will go. We'll go to Australia this time. This will be better. Because the Irish economy has been known to be a bit of a roller coaster, you know, recessions and then boom times and recessions. So they thought, let's go again. And I think at the time when the medicals came up for everybody, my sister might have had the mumps and I might have had the measles, and they went, oh, it's a sign.
That's a bad luck.
It's a sign from God. It's a sign from the heavens. We can't go to Australia.
My God,
so they pulled out again. And then the third time around, and I won't lie to you, I had a bit of a hand in this. We were sitting at home looking out at the beautiful, cold and rainy Irish weather. Ireland's a beautiful country and it's very, very green, but it also rains a lot. And I was sitting watching Home and Away on TV with my mum.
Is that Tossie Show, right? Actually,
yeah, Home and Away, Neighbours, that sort of thing. It was a big, big hit back there. And I was looking at some of the girls on the beaches over here in Australia, and I was saying to mum, can we not look at moving to Australia again? You know, 13-year-old Irish boy going to Christian Brothers school thinking, I'd rather go to school over there. That looks pretty good to me. So, you know what? I put the idea in her head, and she said, don't tell your father. Let's get the paperwork. I mean, so we did, and of course she spoke to him. We put it through. And in 89, yes, we moved over.
So where did you land, in Sydney or in Melbourne?
We came to Melbourne, yeah. So we were originally to go. My dad's a diesel mechanic. He's actually sort of head of operations for one of the big bus companies here in Melbourne. And very, very smart man. Mm-hmm. And very, very good with his hands. I wish I could say I take after him, but I don't.
Can you take us to the first day when you... Can you take us to the first day? Because you say you landed... In when did you August?
Yeah,
August,
yeah.
August.
Yeah, August.
So what was the first thing? It was not very. Was it's a winter, right, Darren?
Just coming into spring, yeah.
Coming into spring. So what was your first impression when you landed in Australia? Like, you know, what I mean, what was a little Tremaine experience? You know, on a plane and coming, like, you know, entire world flying away. You know, to come in Australia. What was your first experience, you know, what your eyes saw, what did you smell, what did you feel, how did you felt, you know, when you come to Australia?
So I think Australia is one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and I've still got a lot of it that I want to see.
Yes.
But this image I had, which is kind of funny in my head, you know, because you get sold the idea of the bronzed beach thing, particularly back in Ireland, where it's, you know, the weather's different, of course. We arrived at 6 a.m. in the morning, Tullamarine Airport. It was freezing cold. It was raining.
Your daddy was all right. He was like, it's so, coming to spring. Yeah.
Hang on. This isn't Australia. Where are the kangaroos and where's the beach?
Yeah.
And so look, we arrived and we came to stay with some friends, and they had a place in Werribee, and Werribee in Melbourne at the time was known to have a bit of a smell in the air because of the sewage plant that was nearby. So. To be completely candid with you, I arrived and thought, we've made a big mistake here.
I love your story.
I think we need to look at where Home and Away is, and that's where we need to move. Of course, no thought for my dad and work and everything else. And the crazy thing about that, guys, is this is sort of the love of my father and mother in terms of how supportive they are as people. My dad was actually offered a position working for one of the big mining companies in Perth. And the reason we moved to Melbourne was, on a whim, basically... I got offered a position over here as a cadet to play with the Victoria Police pipe band, the Bagpipes, which was my passion and obsession at the age of 14.
Oh, you'll be recruited,
yeah. So my father, okay. The amazing man that he was, he went, okay, well, we're not going to move the whole family to Perth, where I've got a job lined up. We will just go to Melbourne because Tremaine can play with the Victoria Police pipe band, and that's his passion, that's what he wants to do.
Tremaine. And so, your story is, you know, I love this innocent view, you know, on a life, you know, we all, like, I know that Darren was rolling his eyes when you say where you live in Melbourne, because Darren is a oi 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 Aussie oi oi oi, not like myself and you, like, you know, we come this country a bit later, but it's like, Tremaine, you know, please stay where you are, have the glass of water, we'll take a short break, Darren, and we'll come back to the more with Tremaine Murphy. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Market to hire an honest, reliable, long-term plumber? If so, you want to look out for one that is fully licensed and insured, has your interest at heart, displays professionalism and is branded. Neat, clean and tidy and treats your domain with respect and care. Look no further. Waterflow Plumbing is your plumber. Fully licensed and insured in plumbing, draining, gas fitting, roof plumbing, waterproofing and mini excavation. Call Bradley on 0488 300 480 or email info@waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
It's 24 minutes past one. You're on Live 90.5 with Business Insights with Mario. And we know we've chosen the right song for our guests when they're humming along in the background.
I love that song. You know, how did you find that one? You see, when we talk about music and at this song, it's perfectly fit our guests.
Connecting with the audience, yes, and connecting with our guests. That's what we do best, Mario.
Indeed. I couldn't be more grateful, Darren. So, Tremaine, back to you. So, little Tremaine landed from Ireland in Victoria, and you've been you know, part of the Victoria Police Spy Band, and then you, if I can read some highlights, including 89-91 Australian Championship, 91 World Championship, 1991 BBC Concert Belfast, and two CD albums released. Can you guide us through that process of you being the musician? Or
Mario, I mean, you know, it's a geeky thing, and people go bagpipes. I mean, it's sort of like this obscure thing, I suppose, in Australia, and there is a pipe band sort of scene, if you will, here in Melbourne, but in Ireland and England, Scotland, and that area, like the folk music world and the music of traditional, you know, bagpipes, that's is massive. You can go to the World Championships in Ballyhooston Park in Glasgow, and it's thousands, tens of thousands of people. There's TV cameras. It's a serious business as well as hobby, and you can have, you know, guys walking around with green mohawks and Metallica t-shirts on and a kilt.
You made that day. Are
you
day?
You know what I mean? Like, it's a serious thing. So to get an opportunity to come over and play at the Victoria Police Band level was a whole new thing for me, because, I mean, the Victoria Police Band, the guy who headed it up, Inspector Nathaniel Russell, who's OAM, and he is a legend in the world of bagpipes, who was headed up the Royal Ulster Constabulary, the Northern Irish Police, and was a multiple world champion. And he was brought out to sort of invigorate the Victoria Police Pipe Band, which was at the time one of only two pipe bands internationally that were fully professional police pipe band, where these guys were paid a full-time wage at a senior constable level, etc., to be musicians. So for someone who had a dream around you know, being the best bagpiper in the world, et cetera, at the age of 14, to get an opportunity to even step in at this level was just something else. It's kind of like realizing you're on the Olympic squad if you're a sports person, you know?
That's very interesting. But you published it as well. Sorry, I do apologize. You have the video we saw on YouTube as well. So, like, can you explain to us, that does your love for the pipe bag, it's finished, it's end, or you still continuing that, you know, for occasion to you play and, you know, entertain people?
The bagpipes are one of those things. I got to a point with the band, it was terrific. You know, my high school, I came to Australia, we settled in here, and I had a great time. I mean, I was basically traveling back and forth to Europe every year with the band, and we got to do concerts around the world and compete. And the band, this is a Murphy's Law, look at the Irish thing. The band, the last year I played with them, we came third place in the World Pipe Band Championships. And at that point, I was just hitting the teenage angst thing, where it's like, I need to find myself. I'm shedding my skin. You know, maybe bagpipes are not for me. I need to get into electronic music or whatever else. And the following year, the year I didn't go, they won the bloody thing. So there you go.
Oh, no.
I managed to get third place, but I missed out the following year when the boys took home the first place. And so following on from that, then, you know, it was one of those things. I guess I was on a mission for self-discovery. You know, you shed your wings, you leave school. And in Melbourne, there was the electronic thing that was coming out. I think around the world, dance music and techno was happening. And so me with some buddies, we got together and we're like, let's start writing some music. And we got a computer and we started, you know, experimenting with writing some electronic music. But of course, it's like, I didn't play keyboards, I didn't play guitar, I didn't do anything like that. I played bagpipes. Like, well, let's do it with bagpipes. So that's what we did. We had a guitarist who was like a...
Jesus, hey, that's a very interesting guy. You should see Darren's face now, you know what I mean? Like, I don't can imagine how this looks like, but Darren, he's...
I just want to hear the music. We should, next time you're on,
next time,
we have to play one of your tracks from your band.
No, absolutely.
We've got to do it.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's pretty funny now. I have to say, listening back to it, Irish people shouldn't try to rap, Darren.
So, okay, Jermaine, what if the producers of the Home Away comes to you and say, listen, we heard a show on Alive 90.5, we want you for some of our episodes, would you take it?
I'd be there in a heartbeat. Although, they'd probably be interviewing me for, you know, a position to work with Alf.
Ah, okay.
I don't think I'd be one of those wouldn't be one of those guys who just top off on the beach, you know, unfortunately.
So, you look like last night we saw that Greta, like, you know, how old she is, Darren? She's like a 15, 16 years old, that climate change person. She's now on the COVID panel, 12. Is old, that Greta from Sweden.
Oh, yes, Greta.
But reading the Tremaine now, not now, but as his resume, you try to save the world, or did I understand correctly, or you try to solve the problems worldwide through social anthropology, philosophy, experimental music?
Yeah, look, I mean, I left school and, you know, it was one of those things where my grades weren't strong enough to do law or psychology, which is what I wanted to do. And that's probably largely because I was so focused on the band and music and it wasn't a priority. So I went and did arts at La Trobe. And, you know, that was good. Wanted to solve the problems of the world. And so I was interested in answering the big questions. You know, let's look at the meaning of life, philosophy, social anthropology, and the juxtaposition between all of these different perspectives around how the world works. And so I was doing that. And look, to paint a picture, you know, I thought really my future had to be with music. You know, I had that sort of sense of I was invincible. And so, yeah, that's what was going on. I was studying at uni. And we set up our own band, and we were determined to create an entirely new style of music with guitar, you know, dance beats, bagpipes, and an Irish guy rapping a bit, like.
Is that what you're saying? So. Not rapping for the Irish guy. And when did you grow up? Did you grow up ever, or did you still pursue that dream while you're working? What you're working?
Well, no, look, what I was doing, my first job out of school was I got a job at a law firm, and you know, it was one of those things where I guess when the passion is there with music, like we were like the monkeys. There was five of us living in a house in North Melbourne, a big house, and we just lived music. You know, everybody was pro environment. We were all vegetarian. I ended up growing my hair out. Flares had come back, and I was determined to take that on by storm. So I had like three or four different three-piece suits with flares and platform shoes, and I grew my hair long and, you know, did all of that sort of stuff.
Do you know, I can't even picture this because for all our listeners, if you'd like to know more about Tremaine Murphy, his professional life and his snapshot into his biography, please come on live90.5fm.com.au. In a couple hours, you're going to hear this interview, but as well, you're going to see and read his little bio, because when I see Tremaine, I'm seeing 007. You know, that suit, that look, that, you're shaving head, obviously. But that's like, you know, I mean, like there's a look of the very professional man, which I would never envisage, you know, I mean, seeing you in platform shoes, you know, I mean, being vegetarian, you know, I mean, and all these things. So when did things start going wrong for you?
I think it ties into that, Mario. Like I had a dream and the dream was, you know, with the band, everything went really well. I had the look at the image and, you know, I even set up a business at that time, a multimedia business with my friends, and we were doing work. And I think it was when the band broke up for me. Like, you know, it's fine. You can do all of the things that you do in terms of pursuing the greater answers when you're in your 20s and you party and you do those sorts of things. And then, you know, when everything's hedged on the one outcome, and you know, we got a big break with Triple J's Unearthed, we won that, and we had a pop song that became successful, and we toured the country and we did all those sorts of things. And then as happens with most bands, you know, we had an argument, or one person wanted to go their own way, and so we broke up. And so then all of a sudden it's kind of, well, okay, all of my eggs were in this basket of pursuing this dream, this outcome of full-time musicianship.
Yeah.
And well, where do I go now? And so I think that's where things build, you know, what was socializing and was entertaining then becomes something that supports, I suppose, what the alternative is. And the alternative is, okay, well, I'll get a job here or I'll do that. And so that's when things start to, you know, that's where things start to get a little bit difficult, you know, when you're looking at, I suppose, soothing some of those woes through having a few drinks or those sorts of things, yeah.
And there's common depression, anxiety with that. Is that correct? Is that what you... Because spoke to you, like, you know, like your raw story, your honesty, and, you know, I mean, this is what it's like. That's what moved me and Darren when we talk to our guests. And this is because this radio show is not designed to host, you know, celebrities, you know, I mean, who continuously have the same message, and it's all about them. It's about you. You people who come from the ordinary ranks, you know, I mean, very successful in society, very successful in community, people who are, you know, quietly go through the life but achieving so much and employing other people, you know, there must be, you know, strain, and that strain, it's reflected to depression, anxiety. And you honestly admitted that you battled the depression, anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I...
But how did you come up with that then? I'm asking for the friend.
Look, yeah, well, look, there's... I have a sort of a diagnosis around social anxiety when I was younger, and it was really thanks to my mum over my earlier years of my 20s, where she said to me, "Tremaine, you just seem really, really down, and you don't seem yourself. You're a buoyant, sort of jokey self all the time. You know, it might be worth having a chat with somebody." And so, you know, my folks were incredibly supportive throughout that time, and I did. And
that's very beautiful.
I did what people do in terms of that. You know, you get some support and some help, and so I had some medication that would help with some balancing out of anxiety and also the depression and those sorts of things over the years. And you know, medication and support are so essential when it comes to mental health.
So the support is so who you surrounded with, like you're lucky her parents, but you know, if somebody comes to you and says, "Tremaine, listen, I'm battling some type of anxiety or depression," you know, apart of the help of medical help, what would you suggest second thing to do?
I think you have to take your mental health as serious as you would take your physical health.
Mm.
And the impact of...
Why is that related?
I think the impact, if you think about if you go and have a blood test as part of a checkup and the doctor comes back and says they found a problem with a particular organ in your body, you would take it very, very seriously, because without that organ, perhaps you might not be able to function normally. And the challenge with mental health is it's something where it can be sometimes it's not seen, but the impact of it can be really, really dire. And we see people's lives being ruined because they, you know, perhaps the early days there was a stigma around talking about having some issues with depression or anxiety and those things. And I think now it's more prevalent. And thanks to amazing organizations such as Beyond Blue and a range of different organizations out there to support our children nowadays when it comes to talking about mental health issues. So, look, over the years, I've had support and help with social anxiety and some mood issues, you know, issues with being up and down over the course of time.
Yes.
And I think those issues can be concurrent also with things such as alcoholism or substance abuse and those things. I think one plays into the other, because when you find yourself on an up and a down and an up and a down, what we can tend to do if we don't get support and get help is self-medicate, and that can be through having a couple of glasses of wine or doing those sorts of things, and eventually you get into a cycle where that becomes your norm.
Yes.
And the song Comfortably Numb kind of comes to
mind. If I may use this opportunity, this platform, you know, this radio show, I am, and Darren, can I say thank you Tremaine for sharing this with us. I tell you, as I said, like, you know, I was always, my life, I was being, you know, in position, being a soldier, being in wars and all these things, and always being surrounded with the people who are the macho men, and those macho men, when it comes to the action, they disappear, they're gone, they're never to be seen, and everybody is very afraid to admit their sides, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I have the anxiety, I have depression, I'm overweight, you know, there's no question asked, you know what I mean? But I said, like, I'm thankful and grateful that you share with our listeners that there is the light in the end of the tunnel, that things doesn't need to be always be black and dark, as long as you take it two steps, you know, take it medical advice and surrounded with the people. Now, just before we take a break, Tremaine, and we give you the breather, why people are afraid to admit their mistakes? I'm talking about health, you know, we're talking about this in the business, and we have our lovely guest Ruchi before this. Do you see that people are struggling to admit their mistakes?
Yeah, look, I think things are changing, and with social media and people having a voice, I think it's there's a bit of a revolution in terms of that, and people are being applauded
like
now for coming out with that. Like, Murray, what you said about, like, the security services and the armed forces, I mean, you guys were trained to do things that the majority of our community couldn't do, and that is face real adversity and death to protect your nation and your country, and thank you for that, and I admire people that would do that for others. I think it takes an amazing spirit and tenacity and courage to be able to do that. But I think you're right. Similar to the normal civilian and the normal person, our emotions can overwhelm us and can be really disconcerting and challenging to overcome. And unfortunately, of the past, the mentality of anyone who admits weakness, particularly in men, or vulnerability, is it's someone who's not going to have that killer attitude.
Society that determined now that they all say. But Romain, you know, we're going to give you a short break, so you have the couple, you know, glass of water. I'm truly thankful and grateful for being our guest on Live 90.5, sharing your story. Darren and I will take a short break and we'll be back after the music.
Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 28 Winston Hill Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. InsightIntelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
You are listening to Alive 90.5, serving the Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas since 1992.
It's quarter to two on Alive 90.5. Currently, it's 15 degrees and we're keeping your hearts warm even though it's a bit bleak outside. And we're talking to Tremaine Murphy all the way from Melbourne. Mario, take it away.
Oh, Darren, thank you very much for this. And thank you, Tremaine, for being with us in the studio. I finally discovered there's a knob here. I can make it louder, my headsets. You know, I mean, I was struggling to all day hear myself now. And I was trying to blame Tremaine on the Darren, and I can't hear myself, but there's a knob next to me. Tremaine, thank you very much for being our guest today. Tremaine, now, you know, after discovering the bagpipes, and as I said, like, you know, once again, from bottom of my heart and on behalf of this show, I truly appreciate sharing with you your life story and, you know, ups and downs. But now, share with us what the Tremaine Murphy does for the people worldwide. Because I can't, you know, just disclose, like, Tremaine is this and this and this. But I just wanted to, Darren, now he start, you know, asking questions about the sound you producing for the clients. So, Tremaine, what are you doing for a living? What is your company?
Look, we're 24/7 direct offshore. So my background over the years, pivoting out of music and into business, I suppose similar to yourself, Mario, where, you know, with your background and gathering intelligence, I had this real sort of penchant for understanding the truth behind the matter. And I found myself in a position where I had an opportunity to build out some research methodologies and processes to look at measuring customer experience for major brands across Australia. And I got a break there, and I found that whilst I wasn't writing music anymore, I was actually being equally as creative, and I was able to use my left brain and my right brain in developing out these products. And so with many years of consulting to big brands around Australia and abroad on the customer experience they were delivering and implementing really practical down-to-earth solutions that actually worked and brought about great change, my career sort of evolved, and I had a consulting business over the years and did a lot of work with other companies, helping them deliver great experiences and optimize their processes and their business models. And now I've got the great pleasure of partnering with Devang Parikh, who he's had an offshore outsourcing business now for 15 years in Melbourne, and that's providing outsourced, you know, call center services for Australian companies. And he asked me to come in. He was partnering with another business of mine in online learning, and he asked me, Tremaine, why don't you come in and work with me and partner with me to build out this offshore business? Because I've done a lot of work over the years with big clients who've said, we outsource or we offshore our call center to the Philippines, and we want you to research it and make sure that our customers are still getting a good experience. So now I have the opportunity to make sure that the small to medium business community in Australia, small business owners, you know, companies 10 to 15 to 20, even, you know, 2 to 3 operations, can get the same sort of benefits from having some staffing solutions offshore that some of the big multinational companies have. So that's what we do. We provide solutions for businesses within Australia to assist in growing and taking advantage of the international resources that are available.
So, Tremaine, a lot of our listeners will think, oh, an offshore call centre, they're not going to understand me, I want to talk to an Australian. How do you make that different for businesses that you deal with? And I think you touched on it earlier, was saying, well, you've got to actually understand the product and give that to the customers. So lead us through that a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Look, the work I've done, like, for example, I did some work with Virgin. It was a big 350-seat call center. At the end of the day, the majority of interactions that we have with major relationships as consumers, such as your telco or your gas electricity company, you're dealing with staff and people who are sitting in a call center, typically in the Philippines. And so in terms of managing the interaction and the type of conversation, anyone will tell you, you don't just put someone on the phone and give them a brochure and say, you know, there's the information, have a conversation with someone else. There's a process that sits behind it. And the most important part of that process is making sure that that person is supported through continuous improvement framework to be able to deliver out a great customer experience. So
that's interesting.
You know, like everything within my life, both personally and also in business, all evolves around, a circle. And that philosophy is that if you can't measure it and you're not measuring it, you can't improve it.
No, that's wonderful. And as an engineer, I totally agree with it. You've got to be able to start with your data, but then also have a will to improve and to discover and learn how you can improve. It might be something you don't know today and something you can learn from someone else. So thank you for talking with us today and helping us to learn how
that's,
you do
that's
it.
That's interesting. So, Tremaine, okay, me as a client, like just looking at Darren now, why I'm struggling, I don't want to talk about names. I'm not allowed to say some names, but why these call centers fail customers? Yeah, I know from experience you have personal touch, you and your partner, but it's like, you know, you're supervising these people. I know that you coach them, and I know when we spoke the things, you make the sure that this is works. But why majority of the call centers fail?
Yeah, look, that's...
I'm disappointed as a client. Let's go say I called, my company, it's a XYZ phone company, mobile, and I can't reach, or, you know, when I reach, they don't know what I'm talking about. And, you know, sometimes it's, one thing I can guarantee with your company, there's no leakage of information, but I know with the offshore in the companies in the subcontinent, I know the information of the clients are leaking out and they don't know what they're doing when they're on the phone with us.
Yeah, and look, I suppose just to absolutely speak to that point. So in terms of contact centers, there are a number of reasons why contact centers can fail consumers. Our business, we have a contact center here in Melbourne, but our business model is, what we do is we provide offshore staff for businesses in Australia. So you might need someone to do marketing, to do administrative work, to do mortgage broking, para-planning. And what we do, guys, is we recruit the right skill set, as any recruiter would do in Australia for you, but we recruit staff from offshore. And what that means is that if you're a small business owner, you can make a decision around whether or not, you know, you should be working on your business or in your business, because you can then find staff to support you. You can focus, you can move your shift from focusing on your delivery to an execution to growing your business. And also, you know, there's an ability to provide a greater customer experience if you have some staff that are dealing directly with customers on the telephone, because of the cost rationalization side of things, you may be able to have two staff as opposed to one. To answer your question though, Mario, on the call centers, why do sometimes call centers fail?
Not sometimes, majority. I'll talk from my experience, even in Australia. I'm talking particularly about my mobile phone issues. And when I call, I get like 20 people before I come to the person who actually is in Australia, and that person knows what I'm talking about, instead of in the first place. So that's a reaching boiling point as a customer. Do you spend more time on the phone, try to solve the problem, which it's maybe easy to solve, and I know it's a number of the calls coming across, but I know that certainly that your staff and what you're doing there, because I know that personally, on personal level, to experience that you're spending time with the staff, training them and allocating proper person. So why the other companies, they don't allocating, you know, instead they have the bulk of the people in some call center. Why did you take this different approach?
It's continuous improvement, as Darren mentioned before. Like the whole thing, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. So some large organizations, telcos included, some view the experience that customers have within the call center after they've become a customer as just a cost. And so that whole part of the business is managed as to reduce costs. And so customer experience is not at the forefront of what's happening.
What do you think, Darren?
Yeah, I was just thinking there, the best way to keep a customer is to engage them, not to see them as a cost.
Well, that's right. But the business model for so many banks and telcos historically has been that a contact center on the balance sheet has been seen as a cost center. And the big change in terms of customer experience has been, okay, well, no, these frontline people are dealing with our biggest asset, which is our customers, and therefore we should be investing in continuous improvement. The issue has been, though, that the measure it to improve it model has been wrong. So, for example, customer satisfaction is a key metric that's been used over the years to measure how satisfied customers are. But you think about it, guys, when someone asks you, if I ask you to think of the most recent, clearly positive or negative experience that you've had as a customer, you remember the negative, you don't remember the positive. And so questions like how satisfied are you are, they don't work. So it's about providing the right mechanisms for staff to be able to have a real conversation. The way we teach staff in terms of engaging with customers is speak to that person as you would speak to your mother or your father, your family member. Treat them with the same level of respect and decency. But you need to make sure that you're measuring that, and most importantly, you're supporting it through coaching and continuous improvement. So from a call center perspective, that's the work I've done, I suppose, over the years with some big brands around optimizing that. And it takes time, it takes planning, and it takes support.
Well, Tremaine, that was a wonderful, and if Darren and I may ask you to appear in our show again, because we need to wind up this first hour and we'd like to talk to you more about your business in maybe a week or two, would you like to accept our offer to come again and talk to us?
Guys, I would like, it's been terrific. I don't know where the time has gone. I was thinking, what will we talk about? And it feels like we're just getting into it. So it would be absolutely a delight to do that. Yes, thank you.
So Tremaine, for the end, to all our customers and the clients and the listeners and sponsors, if they want to come in touch with you, how they can find you?
Yeah, look, I'm on LinkedIn, obviously, and you can look me up there. And it's 247direct.com.au, so www.247direct.com.au. And if you're interested in having a look to see if offshoring would be something that could support your business, perhaps pull you out of the execution and the delivery and get you focusing on some growth, build some bandwidth, would love to have a chat with you and happy to talk to you about some down-to-earth realistic solutions.
Thank you, Tremaine. Thank you for being our guest today on a live 90.5 FM Business. This is Mario. Darren and I will take it off this now, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Tremaine. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Darren.
We'll see you all next week.
Tremaine, speak to you soon. Thank you. See you. Bye-bye.
Alive
90.5.